AK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump told ABC's Rachel Scott it's possible the U.S. could get involved in Israel strikes on Iran. Iran's retaliated with more missile launches towards Israel. ABC's Selena Wang has the latest.
Been holding calls with world leaders, including with Russia's Vladimir Putin. Trump said yesterday that Putin called him to wish him a happy birthday and to talk about Middle East tensions. According to Russian state media, Putin offered to mediate between Iran and Israel.
Authorities in Minnesota continue their search for 57-year-old Vance Bolter. He's the suspect in Saturday's killings of a Minnesota state representative and her husband. Authorities say he's also suspected in a shooting that injured a state senator and his wife. Authorities are looking into whether he may have been motivated by his views on abortion. One person was critically hurt in a shooting at an anti-Trump protest in Salt Lake City. Three people are in custody. Police say they don't know if there was a political motivation. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. A new study highlights the high price of incarceration and says the annual total cost to families of Americans behind bars is nearly $350 billion. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
A new study highlights the high price of incarceration and says the annual total cost to families of Americans behind bars is nearly $350 billion. The study from Fora.us says 1 in 2 American adults has seen incarceration in their immediate family, with higher rates among Black Americans. Families with a member in jail or prison spend about $4,000 a year, and the report says for Black families, the cost is more than double due to longer sentencing. Zoe Towns with Fora.us says expenses like phone calls, care packages, long-distance travel, and new costs at home all contribute to the exorbitant price.
It also includes depressed wages over the lifetime of the person who's incarcerated, who's no longer able to contribute, but also to all the other members of the family. Oftentimes are also now experiencing lower pay just because of all of the shock of incarceration and the disruption that comes with that.
She adds the children of people behind bars usually see their own wages depressed throughout their lifetime, even after a parent is released. Wisconsin's incarceration rate is among the highest in the nation. Black Wisconsinites are locked up at a rate nearly 12 times higher than whites, despite making up just 6% of the state's population. The report shows incarceration rates are also higher for people in poverty, with subsequent expenses eating up more than a quarter of the family income. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman.
The Brewers closed their homestand. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers wrapping up their longest homestand of the season when they complete their four-game series against the Cardinals today. Milwaukee losing 8-5 last night. It was a rough day for Brewers lefty Jose Quintana, who gave up 7 runs before being sent to the showers early in the fifth. Now, Quintana had missed some time earlier with a sore left shoulder, manager Pat Murphy.
Quintana's a veteran. I don't know how many years he's been pitching in big leagues. 12?
14.
14 years in the big leagues pitching. He's a pro. I trust him. You know, didn't have his best stuff today. He isn't on it last couple outings. He'd be the first to tell you he didn't have his great stuff today and didn't have his location.
Murph, since Quintana came back, have you seen a little less sharpness?
Yeah, for sure. Hasn't been as sharp, hasn't located the ball the way he needs to, for sure.
The Brewers will have tomorrow off, then face the Cubs Tuesday night in Chicago. Cubs beat the Pirates yesterday 2-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Isolated showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight in the upper 50s. High tomorrow in the mid-70s. Monday looks partly sunny and warmer. Muggy as well, with scattered showers and thunderstorms and highs in the mid-80s. Currently 57 degrees.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Warm weather is finally here, and so is wildfire smoke from Canada. Forecasters say we can expect air quality warnings to come and go and come again with no end in sight as fires blaze out of control across central and western Canada. Environmental advocates say the hazardous smoke blanketing our state just when we want to head outdoors shows no community is safe from the impacts of climate change and should be a wake-up call for policymakers. The EPA is pushing to end its popular Energy Star program that has helped families identify energy-efficient appliances and home energy upgrades for more than 30 years. A group of U.S. senators, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, is calling on the EPA to keep the popular program, saying for every dollar spent on Energy Star, Americans get $350 in savings. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, author Laura Bird talks to us about noteworthy memoirs to put on your reading list. And what's the difference between a memoir and an autobiography?
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
On the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome.
His father and son.
Bobby Tucker.
Daddy's come, daddy's go. It's all a trifling game. But I found me someone whose trifling days are done. Night and day, he just plays on every string in my heart. He's no Valentino prize, but he takes the leading part. I've got a cross-eyed papa, but he looks straight to me. That's why I'm happy. I know that he looks crooked, but he's got honesty. He always dresses so loud when he's out in a crowd. I can't help feeling proud of my baby. One eye's right, one eye's wrong. Both look like they don't belong. My cross-eyed papa, he never crosses me. Sweetest sugar, I'm so excited, I'm so delighted, gee. His eyes are not mates when they look at mine, so all I have to do is take them one at a time. I've got a cross-eyed papa, but he looks straight for me. Said I've got a cross-eyed papa, but he looks straight to me. That's why I'm happy. I know that he looks crooked, but he's got honesty. And when he asked me to wed, you can guess what I said. To the altar he led me, my baby. I was dressed in white, what delight. Both eyes crossed, so they looked out of sight. The ceremony had my papa up a tree, and he showed it on the level. He lost his deviltry. When the preacher said, I want my fee, papa looked at him and handed the money to me. I've got a cross-eyed papa, but he looked straight to me.
Sophie Tucker, more from her in a bit. Here's Bing. 1945.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountain. The summer's gone, and all the roses falling. It's you, must go, and I must buy. But come ye back. When summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow, it's I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny
Bing Crosby, 1945. My favorite Father's Day movie? It's got to be Stewart Saves His Family. Now you're thinking maybe, what's that? It's about 30 years old. And it was a big flop. Nobody went to see it. It made less than $1 million in ticket sales at the box office. It's hardly a drop in any kind of bucket. But the picture is, well, go look for it. And if you can't find it, you join us on Facebook. I'll give you the link. We'll watch it together. The best Father's Day movie I ever saw. Stewart Saves His Family. And I'll play a song from that. Yeah, there were a couple. Well, here. Here's Mike Douglas. The Music of the Stars.
A man in my little girl's life. The man in my little girl's life.
It seems like only yesterday, and I can hear my little girl say, Daddy, there's a boy outside. His name is Rod. He wants to play in our backyard. Can he, Daddy? Can he, Daddy? Oh, please, Daddy. Was it really so long ago that she'd come to me and she'd want to know, Dad, there's a boy outside. His name is Lee. He wants to carry my books for me. Can he, Daddy? Is it all right, Dad? He's got freckles, Dad.
The man in my little girl's life. The man in my little girl's life.
Then came ponytails and jeans, and my little girl was in her teens. Popsy, there's a boy outside. His name is Tom. He wants to take me to the prom. Okay, Popsy? He's cute, Popsy. We'll be home early, Popsy. Before I knew it, time had flown, and how my little girl had grown. Now it was, Father, there's a boy outside. His name is Eddie. He wants to know if we can go steady. Can we, Father? Yes, Father? Oh, can we borrow the car, Pop? Yes, it seems like only yesterday I heard my lovely daughter say, Dad, there's a boy outside. His name is Jim. He asked me if I'd marry him. I said, yes, Dad. Got something in your eye, Dad? I love him, Dad.
The man in my little girl's life. The man in my little girl's life.
A child, an adolescent, a young lady, a wife. And oh yes, there's another man in my little girl's life. Hi, Dad. There's a boy outside. His name is Tim. I told him Grandpa was gonna babysit with him. Thanks, Dad. Bless you, Dad. Good night, Dad.
The man in my little girl's life. The man in my little girl's life.
Mark Douglas and Jackie Gleason.
Dear daughter, I tiptoed into your room tonight, and I looked down at you smiling in your sleep. You were so lovely, my heart nearly broke. And I thought, how very much like Sleeping Beauty a little girl is. When I tuck you in, I never know how old you'll be when you wake. One evening, you crawl into your dad's lap and throw your arms around his neck. And next morning, you may be much too grown up for that sort of thing. You're so quickly approaching the awkward age. Too young to drive the car, yet too old to be carried into the house, half asleep on Daddy's shoulder. I have a secret I never told you, Sleeping Beauty. You are going on an exciting trip. You will travel from yesterday all the way to tomorrow. It's a rapid journey and you'll travel light, leaving behind your measles, mumps, freckles, bumps, bubblegum, and me. I promise not to feel hurt when you discover the world is more interesting than your daddy's lap. Yesterday you were blue-jeaned and pigtailed, the neighborhood's best tree climber. Tomorrow you'll be blue organdy and ponytailed, and you'll view the world from a loftier perch, a pair of high-heeled shoes. Yesterday you could mend your doll's broken leg with a hug. Tomorrow you'll be able to break a boy's heart with a kiss. Yesterday you could get lost one aisle away from me in the supermarket. Now I have to worry about losing you down another aisle to some strange young man. Just at the point where your growing pains stop, mine begin. Yesterday, you were a pain in the neck when you were around. Tomorrow, you'll be an ache in the heart when you're not. Tomorrow, you lay aside your jump rope to tie up the telephone line, and the little boy who used to push you in the mud will fight to sit out a dance with you. The clock downstairs is counting the minutes for you. The sky upstairs is saving its brightest stars, and the sun is waiting with its shiniest day. I can't expect you to live in your dollhouse forever. Sooner or later, the butterfly sheds the cocoon, and the smallest bird must try its wings. When you grow up and out of my arms, when you finally get too big for my shirts, I'll still recall how you used to scatter dust and dolls through every room in the house. But you spread sunshine, too. The dust is settled, your mom picked up the dolls, but the sunshine will always fill the corners of our hearts. So, here I am, talking in your sleep. Because if you saw this look on my face, you'd laugh. And if I spoke with this lump in my throat, I'd cry. Yes, daughter. When I looked at you tonight, you were Sleeping Beauty. And so I tiptoed over and kissed you. You didn't wake up. I knew you wouldn't. According to the legend, only the handsome young prince can open your eyes. And I'm just the father of the future bride. Slumber on, my lovely. Tomorrow when you wake, you'll be a young lady, and you won't even realize you've changed courses in the middle of a dream. But you might notice a change in me. I'll look different somehow. A little sadder, a little wiser, but a lot richer. Tonight, I kissed a princess, and I feel like a king.
Music of the Stars, Jackie Gleason, and here's Roger Whittaker.
I peeked in to say goodnight.
and I heard my child in prayer. And for me, some scarlet ribbons, scarlet ribbons for my hair. All the stores were closed and shuttered, all the streets were dark and bare. In our town, no scarlet ribbon, not one ribbon for her head. Through the night, my heart was aching. Just before the dawn was breaking, I peeked in, and on her bed, in gay profusion, lying there, lovely ribbons, scarlet ribbons, scarlet ribbons for her hair. If I live to be 200, I will never know from where came those rivers, lovely rivers, scarlet rivers for her hair.
In 1947, Universal International Pictures released a comedy, The Egg and I, based on a Betty McDonald novel about city-dwelling newlyweds who decide to move to the country and become farmers. With big stars Claudette Colbert and Fred McMurray as the leads, you'd think they'd have been the highlight of the movie, but they weren't. Naturally, Colbert and McMurray turned in solid performances, but the lead characters ended up being upstaged by another couple in the movie, their country neighbors, Ma and Pa Kettle. The Kettles, played perfectly by character actors Marjorie Main and Percy Kilbride, turned out to be comedy gold, charming audiences with their down-and-out but down-home approach to life. Executive producer Leonard Goldstein realized it was the Kettles who made The Egg and I a hit, so he gave the couple their own low-budget movie, which led to a successful series of 9 movies. We'll be bringing you 4 of them tonight. Up first, naturally, the first in the franchise from Universal in 1949, it's Ma and Pa Kettle. In this first installment, the Kettles and their 15 kids are facing eviction from their ramshackle farmhouse when Pa wins a contest for writing a tobacco company slogan. The prize is a new home rich with automated appliances. Not surprisingly, the old-school Kettles struggle to adapt to modern conveniences. The Kettles are a lot like the Beverly Hillbillies of the hit 60s TV sitcom, except the Kettles don't move all the way to Beverly Hills. The movie also features some of the same actors and characters from The Egg and I, including Esther Dale as the busybody Mrs. Hicks and Richard Long as the Kettles' oldest son, Tom. From director Charles Lamont in 1949, here's Ma and Pa Kettle.
Son, now that she tells you to stay right in the fight.
Ma, what did we ever do to get such a smart son?
For one thing, we got married.
Sermon, I can't quote from scriptures, although I know all the words. I wouldn't know how to put them together. But I can speak from my heart. I can say how thankful I am that I have Ma and my kids. I'm thankful for the food we get and the clothes we wear. A lot of folks are always asking God for something instead of being thankful for what they've got. I figure if he wants you to have it, it'll come because you deserve it. He gave us the mountains, the trees, the water, and the fertile land. He gave men the ability to make things and grow things. He put gold and silver, coal and oil under the ground. All man has to do is dig them up. Why, I figure that he kind of wants you to help yourself a little. He don't want to do it all. If I found out right now there was oil under my land, would I be lazy? No, sir. Right away, I'd get geared up and crowbar to start digging an oil well. The whole world could be a better place to live in if everybody would do like I do. Each morning when I wake up, I say, I thank you, God, for letting me live to see another day. And at night when I go to bed, I say, dear God, please let me live to see another tomorrow so I can prove to you that I can be a better man than I have been today. Amen.
Bless this house, O Lord, we pray. Make it safe by night and day. Bless these walls so firm and stout, keeping want and trouble out. Bless the roof and chimneys tall. Let thy peace lie over all. Bless this door that it may prove ever open to joy. Bless us all that we may be fit, O Lord, to dwell with thee. Bless us all that one day we may dwell, O Lord, with thee.
Perry Como, the music of the star.
Thank you.
This is the theme by Alan Silvestri for Father of the Bride. David Rickard and the big band. Here was Jimmy Roselli.
When I was a boy, my mother often said to me, "Get married, boy, and see how happy you will be." I have looked all over, but no girlie can I find who seems to be just like the little girl I have in mind. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old Dad. And the only girl that Daddy ever had. A good old-fashioned girl with a heart so true. One who loves nobody else but you.
I want a girl,
I want a girl
like the girl that married dear old Dad.
She has to be good and old-fashioned with a heart so true. Hey, now.
One who loves nobody else but you.
That's Matt Carlson. Mendelssohn. Here's a sad wedding movie. It's The Catered Affair, 1956, Ernie Borgnine. Never been more dramatic.
The Catered Affair is a 1956 drama with a stellar cast and crew behind it. It follows a poor family in the Bronx in the 1950s. The father, played by Ernest Borgnine, is a cab driver, and the mother, played by Betty Davis, is a housewife doing her best to make her family happy. Well, big news happens one night when their daughter, played by Debbie Reynolds, announces that her and her boyfriend, played by Rod Taylor, are going to be married. They plan to have a small affair with just the immediate family. However, due to social pressures and the wants of parents of both parties, except for Borgnine, the couple are convinced to have a big wedding. This throws Borgnine in disarray because it's customary for the father of the bride to pay for the wedding, and the only money he has is cash he's been saving for years to buy his own taxi medallion. You see, there's only a certain number of medallions, and to be self-employed as a taxi driver, you have to own one of these medallions. Of course, as the plans for the weddings go further, more conflicts ensue. This film is filled with some powerhouse performances. All the main actors do a great job leaving an impact on screen. Ernest Borgnine and Betty Davis have this really unique dynamic you don't really see in a lot of couples in movies. They don't exactly love each other, but they don't exactly hate each other either. They just sort of occupy the same space. I think the scene that personifies this perfectly is when Debbie Reynolds and Betty Davis are arguing with each other. Both are arguing different points and ask for Borgnine's opinion. He agrees with both, and the son asks, "Dad, how are they both right?" Borgnine responds with, "They just are." Any sort of magic in Borgnine and Davis's lives have faded, and they're just with each other to survive. I also like the dynamic between Davis and Reynolds. Reynolds originally is against the wedding because she knows it'll ruin the family financially, and she doesn't want that. But Davis wants her daughter to be happy and have the things that she could never have, because when Davis and Borgnine got married, they couldn't afford a wedding, and it's something Davis has always regretted. She doesn't want her daughter to be filled with the same regret later in life when the magic of the romance fades. Both are coming from logical standpoints. I find myself agreeing with both of them, so maybe there was something to Borgnine saying that they're both just right. Oh, and I also have to highlight Barry Fitzgerald as Uncle Jack. He's not quite comedic relief, but he definitely brings a lighter tone to this house of dreary people. The sets feel so cramped, and it adds to the tension between the actors. I think director Richard Brooks does a great job navigating the sets with his camera, and also does a phenomenal job guiding his actors through it so smoothly. The set is awkward, and the actors convey that, but since the family has been living there all their lives, they should be used to it by now.
A lace wedding dress with a veil right down to the floor.
Sounds mighty fine.
Oh, it was something. She looked just like
it. If you don't mind, I got just so much time, so we'll see the manager now and get the bad news, huh?
Well, I was just telling Jack something, and this veil goes right out to here. It's all kind of a tulle kind of thing with orange blossoms on the top.
Mrs. Hurley, I'm pleased to see you. Mr. Carmen, we already met. Mr. Hurley?
We come to...
Marvelous new song from Pamela Phillips and our own Don Costa, orchestrated by Gordon Jenkins. It's called Monday Morning Quarterback. I know there were 100 ways to tell her I loved her. It's funny how they're all so clear today. And when her face was burning with sadness and yearning, I don't know why I turned my eyes away, but it's so easy looking at the game the morning after. Adding up the kisses and the laughter. Knowing how you'd play it if the chance to play it over ever came. But then a Monday morning quarterback never lost a game.
Frank Sinatra and Gordon Jenkins, nobody better. Here's Phil Harris, 1967.
You were Boston, I was Vegas. You were Crepe Suzette, I was Pie. You were Lectures, I was movies, but I loved you. You were Mozart, I was Basie. You were afternoon tea. I was saloon. You were junior league. I was Dodgers. But I loved you morning, night, and noon. Opposites attract, the wise men claim. Still, I wish that we had been a little more the same. It might have been a shorter walk if I had kissed you more. You were polo, I was racetrack. You were museums, I was TV. You did your best to change me, though you never knew quite how. But I loved you almost as much as I do now.
Gordon Jenkins wrote that himself. Frank Sinatra had a hit on that, a minor one. Al Martino.
You always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt. The sweetest rose and crush it till the petals fall. You always break the kindest hearts with a hate. So if I broke your heart last night, it's because I love you most of all. You always hurt the one you love, the one shouldn't hurt at all. You always take the sweetest rose and crush it till the petals fall. The hasty word you can't recall. So if I broke your heart last night, it's because I love you most of.
Mills Brothers.
You always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all.
the sweetest rose and crush it till the petals fall. You always break the kindest heart with a hasty word you can't recall. If I broke your heart last night, it's because I love you most of all. You always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all. You always take the sweetest rose and crush it till the petals fall. You always break the kindest heart with a hasty word you can't recall. So if I broke your heart last night, it's because I loved you most of all. You always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all. You always take the sweetest rose, crush it till the petals fall. You always break the cutter's heart with a hasty word you can't recall. Ooh, if I broke your heart last night, it's because I loved you most of all.
Good morning, everybody, and a happy Father's Day. I'm Lou Vergani on the Music of the Stars on the Civic Media Radio Network. That's civicmedia.us across the world. And on the Civic Media Radio Network stations. And a good morning to all our affiliates. Good morning, Waukesha, Milwaukee, WAUK 540, 101.1. I'll be right back. CBS News next. Then I'll tell you about a favorite Father's Day movie and give you some information on how you can see it. And I got a tune that's an instrumental and make you think about Dad. See if I'm right.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark in Jerusalem. Air raid sirens as the conflict between Israel and Iran is into its third day. President Trump urging the two sides to make a deal, but he also told ABC News that the U.S. could get involved, although they are not at the moment. Israel's ambassador to the U.S., Michael Leiter, says this is existential for Israel and they must target Iran's nuclear program.
We're certain that we can set back the nuclear weapons system development within Iran for a very, very long time.
Law enforcement sources tell ABC that dozens of Minnesota Democrats were on a target list written by the gunman suspected of killing a state lawmaker and her husband and shooting and injuring a state